Hey guys, thanks for tuning us in for this 37th episode of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. Special guests for this episode include country artist Chloe Collins, singer and songwriter Eric Burgett, and actor and author James S. Murray. If you would, please take the time to subscribe, drop a like, comment, leave some feedback, and share with your friends. Our first guest is Chloe Collins. We'll be talking about her latest single and her latest releases as well. And first off, Chloe, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Now, Chloe, tell us a little bit about the music background. I mean, you're still relatively young of age, and how young did you start off knowing that music was what you wanted to do for your life?
Yeah, well, I've been writing songs since I was 8, but I've been singing, I think, before I could talk, even. Music was a big part of my family. My parents always played John Mayer, the Beatles. They had, like, really good taste, which helped. And they would just play it around the house. And so I would just sing to those records, and it's just, like, in my blood now. So it's been a while. But yeah, I started writing at 8 after I saw the Hannah Montana movie. Still a big fan. And it just kind of took off from there.
There's no judgment here. Hannah Montana fans are welcome.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Now, where did you get your styles from? I heard you mention John Mayer, and obviously the guitarist and songwriter in him obviously matches up. But who else really inspires you?
Yeah, I mean, so many different artists from all different genres, too, because between my parents playing me music, like, as I said, John Mayer and the Beatles, and then I listen to pop and country and rap. Like, I listen to every single genre just because I want to know, you know, what's out there. And I'm into 80s music, like, just literally everything. Some of my favorite artists are Maren Morris and Billie Eilish. They're, like, my two top faves, I would say, other than Taylor Swift. Swift, of course. I feel like that's just like an unsaid, obvious inspiration. But yeah, and it's funny because those two, Billy and Maren, are so different from each other. And I think that kind of shows why my songwriting is like every song I write is just so different from the next one, because I just listen to so many different types of music that it just like it comes out after I listen to a certain thing. So it's just kind of random like that.
Now, how do you, where is the process narrowing it down to what the next single for you is? How do you decide which is going to be the next single? Is it just by the gut or the heart, if you will?
It definitely depends. I do have favorites of my own songs. Like, I know which ones I like better than others, but I have recently been going by fan reaction, because on TikTok, I've been posting my songs and they've been getting kind of a lot of attention on there, which has been super exciting. But so I post like these acoustic previews on there that are just like a minute long, and people comment, and I want to see like what gets more comments than other songs. And then I'll kind of go by that. So I'm going by like what I like, because I like all of them because I wrote them and like I finished them. But I also want to see what other people want to hear. So kind of a combination.
There you go. And the last single, Didn't Want You, was one for me that really stuck out. And how do you quantify, maybe did that release maybe open up some doors that hadn't been opened before?
Oh, I think definitely. Yeah, I remember even writing that with Smith Curry and Tiffany Goss. And that was like, I haven't released that many songs that are co-written. I've usually just write songs, release songs that I wrote myself. But this one I felt was just really special and just different, you know, just not something that you would typically hear on country radio. And I wanted to put it out there and see what people thought. And I thought the production was a little bit, you know, strange as well. Didn't totally fit a certain mold. And people really responded to it way more than I was even expecting. And like, and even more so, I was like, well, I think this is pretty cool. But I didn't realize people like really just like calling me up saying, wow, this is really great. I'm like, thank you. Like, that's so amazing. But yeah, I really think it opened doors, especially with radio. Like, it got so much play and just it got on CMT. The music video was my first official music video I'd ever made, and it was featured on CMT, and that was so exciting. And yeah, it went so far for, like, I was not expecting that at all, but I'm so glad it happened.
Now, where does that set the bar for future releases as well?
Yeah, I think it's always tough because you want to, like, top the last thing you did. And all my songs are so different. I'm like, well, I don't know if people like this, but here we go. But I think I just kind of wanted to go in that vein of, you know, not exactly center, like just a little bit strange, a little bit like dark sounding, kind of spooky, just something that's not really typical. And a lot of my songs do have that sound. So I was like, you know what, let me just try that and see, because people seem to like that with Didn't Want You. So then I put out like Partner in Crime, and I'm putting out more songs that are a little just on that darker side. Because I feel like that got a response that was bigger than some of my other ones that did sound more like typical country, like, you know, band, whatever. And this one just had some like strange, like strings and synth, like just things you wouldn't expect on a country record. So, and it was fun to make too. So I love doing it.
And has the inspiration this year all been dark too?
Yes. Yeah. It's funny because this year has been like the strangest for everyone. I think that's like a collective opinion. But yeah, it's so strange because no one really knows what's going on. And, you know, I'm at home alone a lot because I'm not seeing people as much. And, I've written so many songs alone, and it's actually been great for inspiration because I've had time to, you know, think about things. But I think definitely it's on the darker side for themes. I just wrote a love song, and that's the first time in like 6 months. It's been a while.
And Chloe, for you, the Facebook Lives, we talked about you doing those earlier as well. What did you learn from doing those? And how hard was the first one whenever you're waiting and not exactly sure what kind of response to even get?
Yeah, it was definitely an adjustment because I had been doing live shows, you know, in bars and things like that for, you know, 4 to 5 times a week, every week. And to go from that to like playing songs from my bedroom, it was a little strange. And like Facebook, you know, I wouldn't log in right, and then I'd be late to the thing, or like I'd go on the wrong account, or just, it was such a mess in the beginning because I didn't really know what I was doing. But I think I definitely got the hang of it quickly. And like Instagram lives and TikTok lives, now I do TikTok lives like every week and stuff, and it's funny how that is our entire world now, and you could have never imagined that a few months ago. Like, I would have called you crazy if you told me that.
Now what is the technological thing that you've learned this year that you'll apply moving forward as well?
That's a good question. So much, actually, because I've done writes over Zoom and Skype and things like that. And it's almost more efficient because you don't have to, you know, drive an hour to their house and then, you know, all the little things that you don't think about. And even playing the shows on Facebook Live and TikTok and things like that, you know, I don't drive to the venue. I don't have to pay for parking. I don't have to, you know, carry my guitar into the bar and, you know, sound check, right? Everything that was such, it was like, it was almost time consuming compared to what it is now. Like, I just turn on my phone, end of story. Like, that is all you have to do. And it's kind of nice, and I like it. And now more people are tuning into my lives than were even coming to my shows, you know, which is so funny to me because I was thinking, oh, it'll be like, you know, one or two people. But yeah, there's like 30 or 40 people coming to my TikTok lives every week. And I'm like, you know, this would be cool if like 40 people were coming to see me play at these, you know, national writers rounds when I was actually like, you know, hauling all my gear there and stuff. But whatever.
That's awesome. Now, Chloe, if folks want to find out more information about your new releases, about those TikTok lives, any of that stuff, and upcoming tour dates as we look forward to those eventually, right?
Yes. Yeah, everything is just under Chloe Collins Music. That's spelled with two C's and not two K's because I'm not a Kardashian. A lot of people make that mistake. I have an Instagram and Twitter and all that kind of stuff. My TikTok is also Chloe Collins Music. I do lives on there every Monday at 7:30 p.m. Central. So if you want to come hear some original tunes, that's usually where I play them first.
All right. Well, Chloe, it has been great to officially meet you for the first time. Met you via the Facebook Live, but appreciate your time and also continued success. And hopefully we can catch up again real soon.
Yes. Thank you. And thank you for having me.
Again, follow her on all socials at Chloe Collins Music. All right, guys, our next podcast guest is Eric Burgett. And Eric, you know, as soon as you connected on the Zoom, I saw the background. I was like, hey, I recognize that. Did a Facebook Live for us early on in the pandemic, right from that from that studio, we'll call it.
Yes, sir, man. Yeah. Welcome back, I guess. Thank you for having me.
Now, Eric, for you, the releasing a new single at this time, I mean, how crazy is that to look at the marketing aspect of this this time around?
Well, man, it's been awesome, Cameron. I mean, this song specifically, I feel like this song being a love song and especially something a song that's so important to myself and my wife, it was the first dance song at our wedding. And I just feel like I see a lot of folks getting married during this time. They're still going through with it. They're still doing their thing, whether it has to be virtually, they do a ceremony and they do a bigger thing later on. Some folks have already used the song as a first dance. So it's been really cool to see that happen. I feel like love is just going around during this time, and nothing like a love song during this time.
There you go. Personally. There you go. Now for you, the being a newlywed, you're still newlywed. What challenges has that placed on this whole COVID experience?
My wife and I, we look at it like we're, you know, through anything in life, like no matter what happens, like we're in it together. And she and I are hanging with our dog at home. We love it. We're going on little road trips, whether it be to like a little cabin outside of Nashville or going up to the family farm. We've spent a lot of time together, but lately we've actually just bought a house. So It's been a crazy experience with renovating the house, and it's been awesome for us anyway.
Have you found, this is something I've asked writers and songwriters especially, is has this year been harder or easier for you to find inspiration?
For me personally, it goes up and down, man. Like I feel like every day I try to put something down on paper. I say on paper, but it's like a voice memo in my phone. Like I just, whether it's like a piano riff or a couple lyrics as I'm driving, I just, it's my morning voice. I'm like sounding like crap. Like I'm just like, like singing something random that comes in my head. I always make sure I capture those moments because it's like magic no matter what. And I don't know, most times it's been better, I think. I don't know if that's just because of what's going on and you're always seeking for, I don't know. You're always looking for something.
And I see you standing there in front of the keyboard, and I love listening to you tickle the ivories, if you will. What different challenges has playing the keys been doing, getting your start? Because I know most guys just carrying around a guitar, they're pretty mobile. A set of keys, a little less mobile.
Yeah. When I was looking for a keyboard to be somewhat mobile like a guitar, I found one that has a backpack carrying case. You know, virtual radio tour looks a little different this year, so it's kind of nice to just have this thing still. Mm-hmm. But last year when I was touring around to radio stations, I had my backpack carrying case. I'd roll into the studios and set it up. But it's been fine for me. But growing up, you know, I was hauling a big 88-key keyboard bar to bar just playing acoustic shows. And I roll into this bar in the middle of nowhere, and people – I get looks. I kind of like it. I'm like, that's, you know, yeah, I got a keyboard. I'm going to play it for you. I play some honky tonk and get him dancing. So then by the end of the night, we all be friends.
It's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the fight in the dog, right?
Exactly, man.
Now tell us the process of the new single, and I'm going to let you give us a little intro, and I'm just going to sit here and watch you play some keys and sing, man.
Sweet, Cameron. Yeah. So the song is called Sometimes Late at Night. I put this one out back in August. I absolutely love this song. It's one of my favorite songs that I've written. I wrote it with my two buddies, Tony Wood and Matt McClure. Matt and I go way back. Honestly, he and I grew up in the same neck of the woods up in Illinois, where we're both from. And he grew up on a farm. I grew up on a farm. So long story short, he and I connect really well as artist and producer. So, and then our buddy Tony Wood, he is an amazing writer, has a lot of credits to his name in the Christian music field and country field. And this song came about in a writing session. It was actually pretty close to my wedding date 2 years ago. I was supposed to, let's see, when was it? It was like 2 months before my wedding, I think it was. And I hit him with the idea. I was like, hey, y'all, what about this song being a first dance song for my wedding? I want to surprise my wife with it. And we went with it and wrote it. You know, here I was with two married dudes. You know, they love their wives so much. I admire them. I love my wife. At that time, she was my fiance. I love my fiance. I want to be, these guys are role models to me and the way they show their affection for their wives. And so we all three wrote the heck out of it, man. And it just felt so good to have that product and being there the night of my wedding, dancing to it with my wife and for the first time. It's like, awesome.
That's good stuff. It doesn't get much better than that.
No, man, no. So I hope a lot of folks can connect to this. And if you haven't found your loved one yet, maybe this song will mean something completely different to you later on down the line.
There you go.
So this one's called Sometimes Late at Night. Sometimes late at night, when you're sleeping, I find myself awake. Feels like I'm the one who's dreaming. Sometimes late at night, I see you lying there. I know I found the answer to my prayer. I got a heart full of dreams and fears. You say I worry, say I think too much. I don't believe I could take it. Sometimes late at night.
I didn't want to interrupt any of the fade down. That was just too good, man. That's good stuff.
Man. Thanks,
now the next question for you, the music process, the songwriting, what is first for you? Is it lyrics? Is it melody? Is it a hook? What is the first part of the inspirational process for you?
Most times it's melody. Most times it's melody. I'll say, like, I think if you go through my phone, my voice memos, it's mainly like me humming a song. Just like something like that, or like just like and then somehow or another, and I think, you know, when you listen to something as a, you know, first at first listen, I don't know, it's, I feel like the melody works with the lyric works with the melody, and no matter how it's done, for like whether it's lyric first or melody first, you put yourself in a room with people to write with, and the collaboration process is amazing. It's magical. Something like lyric matches with the melody, melody matches with the lyric, and it just all kind of goes together. So I find that lyric eventually with that melody.
There you go. Now, do you, let me see how to go. The song process, the latest single, is the latest single, is that always your favorite write that you've had, or do you have some other song writes back there that still have extra special places for you?
Man, I love the collaboration process in Nashville so much. I'm looking back, I always get something out of every write I'm with, and that's just the people I'm with, because I surround myself with way more talented people than I am. So it's like I just soak it all in. I learn from every little write, whether it's like an hour long write or a 20-minute write that we're getting back together to finish a song that we have been writing for like 8 hours or something. The song that I have out, the single I have out now on radio, is like, it's just, I love it so much because it's my life. It's like, you know, it's my wife and I's special song. But I feel like every song I put out, I feel like I get better and better. I don't know. It's like, yeah, as it should, I think. It should feel like that.
You hope so, right?
Yeah, I hope so.
Now, who was the first influence to music in your life?
My brother, Elliot. My older brother, Elliot. He's a farmer. He's a really good dude. He's my older brother. I grew up in a family of six. My mom and dad, my sister, and my two brothers. And my older brother, Elliot, like, he taught me how to drive a truck, drive a tractor. And more than anything, he got me loving the piano. There was this baby grand piano we have in my parents' house, and it's still there. It's the most out of tune it's ever been. I'm trying to go home and tune it, but every time I'm home, I just can't get to it, because tuning a piano takes like an hour or something, and you know, that's an hour wasted if I don't talk to family and hang right out and ride the tractor or something. But now Elliot, he's a couple years older than I am, and I was, let's see, 4 years old, and I jumped off the tractor, climbed up on the piano bench, and he was doing, I think he was playing Come Go With Me by the Beach Boys.
Mm-hmm.
It had that whole, like, that whole thing.
Yeah.
Like that whole bebop kind of thing. And he was playing it, and I was like, I want to play that. So I got up, and I was just picking out notes, and then he kind of showed me the melody, and then from then, it was magic from there. And yeah, he definitely got me started on the piano, man, and I started taking lessons and all that stuff. So
do you still play by ear or mainly by music?
Both. I started playing by ear, and it was a big part of my growing up. And then when I got enrolled in private, like, classical piano lessons, like I realized I could do both worlds. I was like, mm-hmm. I could play in like a little rock band on the side, and then later on down the road, it was my country cover band in college, and I would be listening to songs on radio and play it. And then I also had the classical music approach. And a lot of people are like, what's this country guy like playing classical piano? Like, I put out like this thing called a Bushlight Sonata. It's really a take on Moonlight Sonata by Beethoven. It's really just the same thing. I just put a bushlight on the piano. And so I found creative ways to kind of mesh my brand with that. But right. But I can read music, and it's led me to kind of doing side gigs here and there in Nashville and supporting myself financially. Like, I used to play piano for the Nashville Ballet, actually, here. And
wow.
I would pull out those old piano books that I grew up learning out of, and I'd make some money doing that in addition to my country shows. Yeah. So
that's cool. Now, what have you focused in on to what have you been honing the part of your craft this year that you've had the extra time?
Piano chops, definitely. Yeah. I grew up, you know, doing a lot of piano boogie-woogie stuff, but I wanted to take that further down the line and, like, actually learn solos of other, like, country songs and stuff. One of the songs I learned earlier this year that I learned the piano lick to was Sold by John Michael Montgomery.
Yeah.
So I learned the second verse, like, piano riffs and stuff from the record, and it's really a combination of like learning the boogie woogie country riffs and stuff, and then training my ear more.
Right.
And that's really been really cool to me.
Well, that's cool. And I know we're getting close on time, but I'd love to watch you play and hear you play and sing. If you got anything else for us.
Yeah, man, I'll do one of my earlier singles that I put out this year. It's off my EP. The EP is called Pass It On.
Mm-hmm.
I put that out last year, and then we put out a single from that record out earlier this year, back in March or April, I think it was. Losing track of time now through all this whole thing. But this is a fun song I want to share with y'all, and it's all about how I was raised. So this one's called Raised. Four wheels plowing fields, diesel purring, love the smell of moonshine made with water from the well. Pine roans, gravel roan, fence line buzzing, love the sound of cricket lullabies till the sun comes back around. Hammer in one hand, ham sandwich in the other. When it comes to all this corn, I'm just another shucker, raised on biscuits and gravy. That brick church saved me, where the choir sings, oh hallelujah. I'm raised way off the interstate with tractors and hay. Hey, 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 I love the sunshine, love the rain, living above the dirt's a damn good day. That's how I was raised. Come on. Two-stroke John Boat, muffler smoking, love to see that line tight. Bush light, plywood water skis, bird dogs, gigging frogs, early morning, love to feel that cool breeze, blue skies, far as I can see, hammer in one hand, ham sandwich in the other, when it comes to all this corn, I'm just another shovel, raised on biscuits and gravy, that brick church saved me, where the choir sings, oh, hallelujah, raised. Way off the interstate with tractors and hay. Tractors and hey, 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 hey.
Well, Eric, I always want to make sure and let our listeners know where they can keep up with the new single, the EP, upcoming concerts. I know we're still hoping some of that scheduling fills back out as well. Where's the best place to keep up with all of that?
Absolutely, Cameron. EricBurgett.com. I'm putting out a bunch of digital releases online every like 6 weeks, and we're excited to be putting out some brand new music, so keep in touch there. Shows, I hope they pick up. Hope I can come out to OK and see y'all and hang out. So
look forward to that. Well, Eric, again, thank you so much for your time, brother. I've been a big supporter of your music. Had the chance to watch you a couple years ago in Nashville. We never were able to see face-to-face, this first face-to-face meeting. So, Eric,
absolutely
great to Thanks, see you man. face-to-face, my friend. And best of success. Look forward to visiting again real soon.
Thanks, Cameron.
Our final guest on this episode is James S. Murray. You know him just simply as Murr from the Impractical Jokers. He's got a new book, Don't Move. James S. Murray on the line, and esteemed author, I would say now. And Murr, first off, thanks so much for taking the time to be back on the show.
Oh, my pleasure, man. I love coming back.
Now, the new book, I mean, how surprised are you by the amount of published material you have now out there?
This is a special one for me. I have a brand new book that just came out this week. It's called Don't Move. It is the scariest, most exciting, action-packed book you'll read this fall. It is perfect in time for Halloween, and it will scare the heck out of you in a great way. This is a special one because it's the first book I've written outside of the trilogy that I just had, the Awakened trilogy. It's its own standalone thriller. So you pick it up, it's immensely readable. You cannot put it down. It grabs you literally from the first chapter, which is shocking, and it doesn't let you go. And you love the characters, and you root for them, and you can't wait to see how it turns out. And we've got great twists and turns throughout, and the ending will knock your socks off. You're going to love it. It's called Don't Move.
Now for you, James, where do you find the inspiration for the characters? I know we've talked about the storylines before, but where do you pull characters from?
The main character in our book, her name is Megan Forrester. I love her. She's my favorite character I think we've ever written. I drew from my own life. She is in the book, the general manager at a place called Hunt's Place distribution center, which is the largest distribution center in the United States. They literally like 1/3 of the country's food and produce and meat and poultry and dairy go through this facility. And she is this super sharp logistical problem solver. Yet in the book, she has one moment of weakness that sets her on the course of the entire book. And she spends the entire book trying to get back to who she was before this kind of horrific accident. And she's by the end faced with the same situation as the beginning of the book and has to pull from the strength from within herself to overcome it the second time around. She's a great, interesting, complex character that is makes smart decisions, which I like. I kind of hate when characters don't make rational, smart decisions, and she tries to overcome her demons. You're going to love her.
And James, as you talked about this being released before Halloween, obviously great timing on that. How much do you enjoy the Halloween season and the spookiness? And I know you're into the horror sci-fi side of things as well.
Yeah, I love Halloween, but I'm getting dressed up this Saturday as the characters from Twilight, because I finally got around to watching it during quarantine. I'm going to be Edward from Twilight. I'm going to pale my face. I have red contacts lenses, and then I have a wig that looks just like, Robert Patterson. So it's going to be fun. But I do love the season, but I've been hurt in Halloween before. I went years and years and years ago, like 20 years ago, I was invited to a party. I had a crush on a girl all the time. And she said everyone was in costume. And by the time I arrived an hour later, everyone had changed out of their costume. So I was the only one in costume. And I was dressed as an army guy with face paint on, green face paint. And it was impossible to get off. And I felt like a fool. That's why I'll never dance again.
now have the other guys, have any of them been a slight twinge of inspiration for any of the characters that you've had?
They've all been in my books. No joke. I write the guys into every book. And honestly, it's an if you get killed in one of my books, it's an honor. We only kill the people we love. You know, I guess they're crimes of passion in that sense. I would gladly kill the guys in every book I write.
There you go. Now, James, during the pandemic, has that been a time as far as writing? Has the inspiration been better for you, or has it maybe been a little tighter for you?
I think it's been better. A couple of things happened. So, I just got married a few weeks ago. And a year ago, my wife and I moved to way out into the suburbs, like, and it's like really dark and woods around us and everything. And I have never lived that way. I've been in Brooklyn and Manhattan for a long time in Staten Island, and it's most definitely not that. So that combined with, of course, being locked in the house for 6-7 months, like all of us have been, creates, and the state of the world itself creates this, for all of us, this existential dread that you feel on a daily basis. And I think that is honestly a good place to draw inspiration from. In the book, in Don't Move, you'll feel that kind of isolation and dread as this church group from the Bronx is stuck and wanders into the wrong forest in West Virginia. They are alone and isolated. They are not where they think they are, and they're being hunted by this kind of terrifying prehistoric arachnid. And you feel this isolation from each other. They don't trust each other. I think it is a product of this time. We wrote it during quarantine.
And for you, what if, obviously, so many things you've had to change the way you've done things. How have the things that you've changed, how is that going to, maybe, is there anything that you've learned this year that that you're going to stick with the new way, if you will?
I tell you, one of the best things that came out of this time, obviously, I missed my friends dearly. I haven't not seen them this long in 30 years. And one of the best things that came out of it, with a silver lining, if you will, was that we missed each other. We missed having dinner together. So we created a TV show called Impractical Jokers Dinner Party, where the four of us have dinner every Thursday night on Zoom, and we put it on television, on True TV. The new season, we played it throughout the summer, and we had guests join us for dinner. We had Jeff Daniels and Ed Harris. And this season, we have other big stars joining, and new episodes start next Thursday night on True TV again. That was one of my favorite things that came out of the pandemic in terms of like a creative burst. And thankfully, the guys and I, literally a few weeks ago, were able to start filming Impractical Jokers again, the flagship show. So that's really exciting that we're back. It is different and kind of unusual. We had to change the format for the show a bit to still make it producible, but that's the great thing about Jokers is that we do adapt and change the format every single season, no matter what, anyway. So we just had to kind of get a little bit more creative with it.
There you go. And again, I want to make sure and let our listeners know where to follow everything you got social media wise and finding the book as well.
Don't Move. You can get right now anywhere books are sold, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your local booksellers. If you want an autographed copy of Don't Move, all you have to do is go to meetmur.com, M-E-E-T, meetmur.com, and you get an autographed copy, or jamesmurrayofficial.com.
There you go. Well, James, always great to visit with you, my friend. I wish we had more time, but hopefully you have a great rest of your week, my friend.
Thanks, Cameron. Great talking to you.
Again, thanks for joining us for this episode of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. If you ever have a comment, question, or anything else you'd like to know, find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, all at GQ with Cam. If you'd like to help out in the funding for this podcast, feel free to click the support tab and follow the instructions. If you have a special guest idea, feel free to email me, gqwithcam@gmail.com. We'll be back with a full episode number 38 coming up tomorrow.